Good evening and welcome to another episode of Boo, My Dad Says. My name is John.
And I'm Becca.
And we are your tour guides through the world of the paranormal.
We've got a whole lot of history, a whole lot of mystery, and a whole lot of weird.
So sit back, relax, and prepare for a spine-tingling time. Good evening and welcome to episode 4 of season 2 of Boo, My Dad Says. How are we doing tonight, my dear?
Oh, you know, living the dream. It's Wednesday, but it feels like a Monday.
Well, it's definitely been a very interesting week so far. I went Monday and got my shot number 2 of the COVID vaccine, and so far I haven't grown a tail or a third eye, although...
Give it time.
I do have to say my left arm was certainly pretty sore on Tuesday morning, and I had a buddy who took it on the same day, and I don't think he fared quite as well. He actually ended up having to call in to work sick on Tuesday because he said he ended up with an absolute splitting headache and just wasn't able to work. And I can totally understand that because with dose number 1, I had the headache, but it wasn't too bad. It was just a constant dull headache for about 4 or 5 days.
Yeah, that was unpleasant.
So we have crossed a milestone for the Boo My Dad Says podcast, and I would love to share that with you, the listeners, because you guys have made it possible.
Woohoo!
And that milestone is we have crossed the 400 downloads. Now, I know that sounds kind of small, but, you know, we're a relatively new podcast. We've, you know, this is episode 4 of season 2. We had 8 official episodes of season 1 because I wanted to end that season over Christmas so we could start fresh with the new year. We're still a baby podcast, if you think about it. We also have a Facebook group that if you would like to join, go to facebook.com/groups/boomadadsays, and you can join our Facebook group and join in on the conversation. We would love to have you. And if you would like to have a personal story aired on the show, I think Rebecca will tell you how you can do that.
Definitely. If you have a story you'd like to share with us, you can email it to us at john@boomydadsays.com. You can send us a private message through Facebook Messenger if you'd like. There's several different ways you can reach out and contact us. We'd love to tell your story on air, and we can absolutely keep you anonymous if you'd like.
Before we get started with tonight's story, I want to take a moment to talk about our affiliate sponsor, Audible. And for those who don't know what Audible is, it is a service provided by Amazon for audiobooks. And we here at the Metcalf family are absolute audiobook nuts.
Yes, we are. And the plan we subscribe to, we actually get 2 credits a month. Sometimes I'll pick a book. Sometimes John does. Sometimes the boys pick something that they want. Sometimes we bank them if we know that there's a book coming in the next month, or if there's a couple of releases the next month that we want to hold on to.
And Audible here lately has actually changed their subscription plans to add a lot more value than to what we were actually doing for years. And it's called Audible Premium Plus. And you get a credit once a month, plus you get access to, it's almost like a Netflix for Audible, except it's with audiobooks.
Oh, wow.
They have several titles that you can listen to, or like audio dramas, or and even podcasts that you can listen to. And
just as part of your subscription?
As part of your subscription.
Well, that's pretty cool.
So what we are doing here for you at Boo My Dad Says, we're going to be able to offer you a free 1 month subscription to Audible Premium Plus. And in that subscription, you're going to get a book credit that is yours to keep, even if you unsubscribe from the service. the book is yours, and you're going to get 30 days from that. All you got to do is at the bottom of the show notes, if you're using Apple Podcasts, you can click details for the show, and it has the show notes, and there's going to be a link in that show notes field that can take you out to Audible and get your free subscription started. There is no obligation at the end of your 30 days. If you want to cancel, you can, but I promise you, once you get started, you will be addicted.
You will, and it's such a great alternative to just listening to the radio or having quiet in the car, being on the treadmill, on the elliptical, if you're out for a run, whatever. It's a great way to get some literacy and some words into your mind instead of just straight up TV. Now, don't get me wrong, TV's great too.
All right. Well, tonight we are going to be talking about the Rolling Hills Asylum up in East Bethany, New York. And this place is been called the second most haunted place in the U.S., and that's according to Haunted North America.
Is that just like a website, clearinghouse, data? What is
that? Yeah, it's a website. But they have called the Rolling Hills Asylum the second most haunted place in the U.S., and according to all the promotional material that I've read about this location. But let's look at the history of Rolling Hills before we look at the hauntings. The Rolling Hills Asylum started out as the Genesee County Poor Farm, and it was established on December the 4th, 1826. And it was just a brick building that was originally a stagecoach inn. So this building has been in existence even longer than the asylum itself was. They actually had a press release that was on the 9th of December that basically said, "Notice is hereby given that the Genesee County Poorhouse will be ready for the reception of paupers on the first day of January in 1827. So they advertised that they were going to be going in the business.
I find that kind of funny that they advertised. Is this in the paper?
How did the poor people
get the paper? That's my question.
It was actually in the December 9th edition of the Batavia Times newspaper.
Interesting. How these poor people buy paper to even see it? That's my question.
I'm just saying, hear ye. Come visit the ye olde poorhouse.
Come get down here to the poorhouse.
Yeah. It opened for reception of paupers in January 1st of 1822. So
it couldn't just be anybody that lived there. They had a list of qualifications. If you met one of these criteria, then you would be able to come hang out at the poorhouse there with them. So what they advertised was if you were a habitual drunkard. Those are words we can't use today, huh? Lunatics, one who by disease, grief, or accident lost the use of reason, or from old age, sickness, or weakness was so weak of his mind as to be incapable of governing or managing their affairs. So you could be drunk, you could be crazy for a variety of reasons, a pauper, a person with no means of income, a state pauper. So here they even had a different qualification there, not just not having money, but if you didn't have money because you were blind or lame, old, disabled, somebody with no income source or no possibility of an income source, or a vagrant. I would love to know what their definition of vagrant was, because it seems like the list prior to everything other than vagrant seemed pretty all-encompassing. The poorhouse was extended. It was built onto? Is that what that means?
Yeah, so I guess apparently business was good.
Business was booming. There's a bunch of drunkards there at the poorhouse. Or they done lost their mind. But those folks, they needed more space. And so they expanded their facilities in 1828 to be able to house more of these lunatics.
So one of the things that I find interesting, though, is I guess how the people who were residents here at this place, how they were referred to. the residents were referred to as inmates, no matter why they were housed there.
If you were blind, you were an inmate.
I know, and I guess, you know, in this day and age, when you hear the word inmate, you know, you automatically think prisoner. One thing that I found quite interesting about the Genesee County Poorhouse, or the Rolling Hills Asylum, as it's known now, is that they were completely self-sufficient. Anybody that was able-bodied could work the farm, and they actually built and made many wares to sell at the local markets to offset the living expenses. They raised Holstein cows, pigs, draft horses, chickens, ducks, vegetables, fruit crops. They canned jams, jellies, meats, canned meats.
Sounds nasty.
It was all part of the chores that, and there was even a bakery and a wood
shop.
Now,
I could get behind the bakery situation.
Oh, yeah, you could. You could teach them a thing or two also.
Mm-hmm.
There was also a wood shop where they would actually build coffins for those who passed on at the asylum, or they would sell them to local mortuaries. They were so good at being self-sufficient, they were able to maintain a cost of care of $1.08 a week in the year 1871.
I'd be curious to see how that relates to inflation. Like, wonder what that would mean, like in today's money, how much that would cost. I know it would be less than what we pay per capita for care in a long-term facility, care in a psychiatric facility, care in the prisons.
Well, it's funny that you should ask that, my dear, because $1.08 in 1871 is now worth $23.06 today, adjusted for inflation.
Wow, that's crazy. That's really cheap per week.
Well, if you look at it percentage-wise, if I'm reading this correctly, that is a 2,035.03% increase.
That's still pretty cheap.
Yeah, that is actually a very reasonable amount of...
I mean, good gracious, you can't even go to the Motel 6 for that.
That's very true. The property had a cemetery on site, obviously, because it says it's a property and it has a cemetery. During the years of operation, the asylum would have over 1,700 documented deaths and hundreds that were not recorded.
Why would they not record the death? Obviously, if somebody went missing, they would know.
Well, I mean, it's still one of those things, if you think about it, you know, back then, you know, poor people were not treated with the same respect that, and I guess even if you think about even today's day and age, it's still very marginal. But, you know, a lot of times poor people were just forgotten, or you didn't have, you know, if they didn't have families or record keeping.
If they documented 1,700 of them, you know, it just seems odd that some of them would have slipped through the cracks.
Well, I mean, you know, for whatever reason, they said there were hundreds that were not recorded, so... Mm.
Interesting.
And it just, I don't know, probably poor record keeping, I guess.
Could be.
But later on, the asylum portion would close, and in 1964, it became the Genesee County Nursing Home. But the facility was only used in that capacity for 10 years, and it was finally closed in 1974, mostly because of code issues. So, well, if you think about it, a building that was, you know, it was around longer than the
years
1827.
Of operation.
Yeah, because it was a tavern before then. So
maybe early 1800s.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, you know, trying to keep something up to code from that long is definitely going to be quite costly. So at the time, due to fear of vagrants moving in and vandalism, most of the old dorms were torn down, as well as many of the outbuildings. That was after they closed down in 1974. With over 1,700 deaths, there is an astounding amount of paranormal activity that is going around here at Rolling Hills. And it ranges from anything from, you know, EVP, slamming doors, voices, shadow people, all the way to full-bodied apparitions.
What's an EVP?
An EVP, that it's an acronym for electronic voice phenomenon. And what EVP, how they usually take an EVP is they'll go into a completely empty room, quiet room, and they'll set like a tape recorder down or a digital recorder down, and they'll turn it on and either A, just leave it, or sometimes they will ask questions into open air, as like say, hello, is there anybody here? And you may not necessarily hear that voice, hear a voice with your
actual ears,
but the electronic voice phenomenon,
it's the like sensors it, going crazy, or
well, it's like, well, it's a tape, like a tape recorder.
Oh,
it almost picks up a range that the human ear can't necessarily hear.
Interesting.
And we'll put it on tape, and then you can, a lot of times when you go back later, you may hear a reply to your question.
Ah, that's creepy.
Yes. Yes, it is. But it is a very common tool in a ghost hunter's toolbox, along with some other tools. And we may actually do an episode on the tools of a ghost hunter in a future episode.
That sounds interesting.
So let's look at a few of the phenomenon that are taking place at this asylum. And they do different ghost tours and things like that. So here's some of the stuff. And I found this on a website called weirdnewjersey.com or WeirdNJ. And they had actually done an interview with the lady who owns the facility now. And her name is Sandy Coyle. They had bought the facility after it had been abandoned. And so here's some of the things that she has actually had happen to her. So I'm not done any interviews with these folks, so I'm actually reading bits and pieces from an interview that was conducted by another website, just so you folks know, you know, so nobody can say we're plagiarizing or anything like that. We're going to start off with Hattie's room. And that is a room that was on the first floor of the East Wing. And Sharon says that she left a tape recorder, here we go with our EVPs, running in the room and caught the distinct voice of an elderly woman calling out hello. She believes it to be the voice of a former patient of the nursing home who was blind and used to call out hello to get the attention of the nurses.
Did she have records from who had been there? Or, I mean, how did she know that? This is the skeptic talking.
I'd say that she had had some of the records, I guess, but if it transferred ownership. I'm not completely sure. It doesn't really say. But it did say that, I mean, she played the EVP for the folks that did the interview. If I can maybe dig it up, I'll play it on Facebook. So another room, and it was called they called it Roy's room, and they talked about Roy. It was, his name was Roy Krause, and he is a 7-foot-tall shadow man, and apparently he is everybody's favorite apparition at Rolling Hills. Roy, I cannot say his name tonight.
Oh, Roy.
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 Yeah, I gotta say Roy, or it's gonna sound like Rory. Roy probably had gigantism caused by a tumor in the pituitary glands, which messes with the growth hormones. But he lived out his life there, and he died in 1942 at almost 7.5 feet tall at the age of 52. So I guess obviously they must have had, they've gotten some of the records. I guess being it was a county facility, I guess they filed a freedom of information, or I don't know if you do that with a county, but you know, they found these records of people there. And she actually told a story that where she had ran into a rat in the infirmary about 2 months after moving into the Rolling Hills property, because she actually has a house there on the
that
property.
That was my next question. When you were talking about that, I thought, oh my stars, does she live here?
She doesn't live in the facility, but they do have a house on the property. And so anyways, this rat scared her, and she screamed and she ran away. And then the very next day, she found the rat dead on the stairs with blood oozing from his mouth as if its neck had been broken.
Ew.
And on the wall above the rat was a giant bloody handprint.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
So Sharon believes that the ghost of Roy had witnessed her distress and killed the rat for her.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Well, you know, hey, skeptics will be skeptics and believers will be believers.
Can't imagine a vindictive ghost against a rat.
Well, I think that he was just a friendly ghost, because this guy may have been a really friendly person in his time when he was alive at the asylum, because, you know, they did say that he was everybody's favorite apparition.
Oh, interesting.
Moving on, we're going to go over to the second floor in the East Wing. And this is where the old men's dormitory is located. And there is a corridor there that is referred to as Shadow Hallway. And Sharon said that this is where that they would see a lot of shadow people. And if you remember back a couple of weeks ago, we did the episode about the Hat Man, and he is a category of the shadow people. And they would say that when you would look down towards the infirmary section, you would start to see shadow people, and they could look like you and I, solid, but then they could be like a light gray, medium gray, dark gray, or even pitch black. And they could be like a normal human shape or an amorphous shape. So I guess, you know, shadows can be kind of any shape you want.
Shapeshifters.
Yeah. They would come in and out of doorways, walk across the hall. Sometimes they would even poke an arm or leg out. Sometimes they crawl on the floor. Nope. The crawling thing just done it for me. Uh-uh. That just creeps me out.
I think about zombie movies with them like inching their way, army crawling through something.
I'm thinking about that. Did you ever watch that episode of Psych where the girl was pretending to be possessed? You remember that?
Oh, yeah. She was throwing herself all around.
Yeah, and she did that weird backward crab walk kind of thing.
Yes.
I mean, even though you knew she was faking it, that just freaked me out.
It's a little disconcerting.
So, yeah, that's what I'm sitting here picturing, you know, these weird crawling things. So, nope, that just got me. Chills. Could be my COVID shot talking. I don't know, but
we'll call it that.
But many a strange and inexplicable shadows have been captured by the team that went in and actually did this interview. Now, we're moving into the heavy hitters here, the psych ward.
And I'll see you next week.
Yeah, psych ward and solitary confinement. She showed that they had like iron brackets protruding from the cement walls of a small dank room in the basement of the asylum where she believed where they once used to shackle inmates. And this is her quote. Back in the day, they didn't understand that you probably had a medical issue. Alzheimer's, epilepsy, Tourette's, Asperger's syndrome. Or you were an unruly wife. And that was actually her words, not mine. So, no.
Bob it all, chow, I'm in trouble.
Yeah. Back then, if a man couldn't control his wife, he'd say, I'm going to lock you up. There were many, many reasons why they would lock you up. So this area was not good. But, you know, it didn't say really anything about what kind of, you know, if there were any spirits or anything there. So the morgue is next on this tour through Rolling Hills. Next to the embalming table, there are two large walk-in refrigerators with heavy latch doors. Their original purpose was for cold storage of human corpses. Sharon said that the morgue is still rife with supernatural activity, such as ghostly voices and things being moved about by unseen forces. People have even been shoved and knocked off their feet there. So moving on, as I said earlier, there was a graveyard there on site. And even the land around Rolling Hills is said to be haunted. Because if you think about it, in fact, it is hallowed ground. The county would bury those who had no family, and records indicate there was once a cemetery located on the property. But the exact location is no longer known. The cemetery has faded away as the stones had crumbled over time and grass grew and forests were replanted.
Okay, well, I have a question about that. Do they not have like infrared cameras and like, obviously, I know it's not going to be heat seeking. I'm not that ridiculous. But I mean, you would think that there would be some kind of scanning technology, some kind of device that could scan to see things that are 6 feet under.
Yeah, they do have things like that, but I guess it's just be probably having to cover such a large space, it would probably be kind of cost prohibitive.
Oh, that makes sense.
So to finish up, I think Rolling Hills Asylum has definitely proven that being the second most haunted place in America, I think it definitely has earned that moniker based on
the thing. I'm curious, what's the first haunted place in America? The most haunted place?
I don't know, but I will do some research and we may do an episode on that. So to end up tonight, folks, we have actually got a few reviews that I would like to read out, you know, to give some thanks to our listeners. And our first review comes from Glitterfar. I hope I pronounced that right. And this is on Apple Podcasts. And I'm assuming Glitterfar is a she.
You never can tell this day and age.
But they wrote, "I enjoy listening to this podcast and learning new things. While the tales of the ghosts and the haunting are great, the background stories and the history of the locations add a layer of context that enrich each tale. Always clean and family friendly, which is a huge plus." Our other review this week comes from Angie Pins All Day. And she says, "Great podcast. This is so fun. Give it a try. You might learn something spooky and enjoy it in the process."
Nice.
Well, folks, we are going to cut out of here for the night. Go and check us out on our Facebook group. I will add that link into the show notes. And, you know, email us. And make sure you go out and rate and write a review for our podcast, because the way the Apple algorithm works,
it helps us a whole lot. So we appreciate it when you are able to do that. Doesn't have to be a big wordy thing. Just drop us a line.
Are you kidding? I want them to write a book, man.
Oh, yeah. My bad. Write a book.
No, I'm just kidding. But anyways, we do enjoy doing this for you guys. And thanks so much for getting us over the 400 downloads milestone. And I hope to be able to talk about crossing the 500 download milestone very soon. Well, folks, I hear some snow's coming. So woo-hoo! Be safe out there.
Get your bread and your milk so you can make French toast.
Yeah, get that bread and that milk. You know, steal food, hoard gas. And then for those of you who are up north, you're probably like
laughing at us hysterically.
Yeah, you're all like, us, I can still find my golf ball.
We're good. Yeah, no, here in the south, we appreciate every little snow droplet we get.
Yeah, we do. I do enjoy the snow. That's what makes winter. And what makes winter bearable for me. All right, guys. I hope y'all have a great rest of the week. You know, we love our listeners, and we look forward to talking to you guys next week. I think next week we are going to be talking about haunted New Orleans.
New Orleans. We're going to have to get us some Cajun accent. Now, this is where I'll get silly and get in trouble.
Well, as long as we can get some low country boil going on between now and then.
Oh, sweet Jehoshaphat. Going to put the kibosh on that. All right, y'all. Guys, have a good night.
Have a good one. God bless.